20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packers fans? Happy Thursday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. It's Thursday. You know what that means. The wonderful Justice Mosqueda at JUMOSQ, acmepackingcompany.com. Justice, how the heck are you doing?
Doing great. Seeing people argue online about who the 12th or 13th best college football team is. It just does not interest me at all. Penn State is still open. What a mess. Been a long break from Packers football, so just been kind of diving into the college football scene recently.
And that's not even talking Lane Kiffin either of everything that's going on with that. It's been a weird, yeah. I talked to Mike Wallab, or no, was it Mike? I don't know. I talked to Mike, I think, about this. The whole college football thing, I'll get on a tangent, but it's not fun times for me. I don't enjoy the current landscape of college football.
Well, signing day, right? Wisconsin, I'm sure, got some sort of five-star quarterback or something.
Whatever. Sure. I'm sure. It doesn't matter. My use of college football is for scouting NFL players. That's all I need it for at the moment.
It's fair.
As long as that continues to happen, I will find enjoyment of it from about January. Well, whenever the Packer season is done. So hopefully February until April. And then I'll watch a lot of college football during that time. I'll enjoy it a lot. And then I'll have a bunch of knowledge of players that like three of them maybe end up being Green Bay Packers, and it'll be awesome.
Pay attention to the visits.
Yes, very much so. Very much so. We've got obviously a ton to discuss. We probably could talk for a good 60 minutes on the state of college football, but we won't. Let's just kick off with Thanksgiving Packers Lions. I know it's basically a week ago now as people are listening to this, but we haven't had the chance to talk. What were your kind of key takeaways from that game?
Relative to the defense that they played, I think it was our best rushing performance of the year, which is a positive sign.
Yep.
You know, Jacobs wasn't full force, but it seems like the Belton stuff and Ryan moving to center is kind of, and I guess Kennard playing more tight end and stuff, have all kind of come together and helped the team to a certain extent. I still don't know if you can really live in that world that much where you're like Kennard is coming in. You're not going to throw him a pass, right? So things are going to become pretty obvious pretty quick. The Packers are shooting up the rankings in terms of the six offensive line sets played, and it's happening very quickly. The past two game pace, they've like outpaced like every NFL team over the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So I guess this is just what the Packers are post Tucker Kraft. We continue to hit the outside hitters, the outside breakers and stuff like that we talked about. What after the Panthers, Eagles back to back losses, where it was like Matt's going to have to start doing some passing game stuff that he's not used to, and he did that. Jordan is still playing well. My biggest concern coming out of the game is the linebackers and the depth that they're getting in their hooks. I mean, they're just not dropping deep enough for that stuff, which like maybe you're doing that in the run game because you're trying to stop, the yak ability, those two running backs coming out of the backfield and stuff like that. But it sure opened up a lot of stuff behind them. I know at least I don't know how PFF has it, but like NFL Pro has it where it's like, yeah, Isaiah McDuffie hasn't given up like any passing yards this year. And I'm like, he might not have been the nearest defender, but that was his responsibility on a lot of those plays where they're breaking right behind the linebacker level. This team needs Quay back bad. I don't think McDuffie is the answer at middle linebacker. He has played well. He fits the run well. I'm never concerned in that role for him.
Yep.
But, like, it doesn't have to be Saquon Barkley with him, man-on-man coverage, running a wheel route for him to kind of hurt you in the passing game. It can be, not being athletic enough to take, deeper drops in those hook zones and stuff like that. And it's not like Quay and Edgerrin have been great at it this year. It seems like everything is just funneling into that area of the field where that's just kind of how the Packers want to play football, where it's like if you really want to throw – like they're going to kind of cover up everything else deep unless you want to throw like a, you know, 15 yard route right behind the linebacker level. And they're just going to hope that the pass rush gets home or that, you know, the linebackers get a hand on one of those balls at some point.
Tip something up is obviously a more dangerous area of the field too, where things could potentially go wrong again. One tip baller, like we saw with McCarthy, one overthrow and it goes right to Evan Williams. So you're probably hoping for a little bit of something like that. I finally got to dive into the defensive tape, and I was, especially early on, it was really remarkable how aggressive the defense was coming up. Like there was a play early where I think it was Xavier McKinney, you know, comes screaming up and they ran play action behind it, but he comes screaming up to stop the run. The linebackers were taking aggressive steps up. It was very, at least it looked like it to me, where they were very, very concerned about the running game for Detroit. And that was their 1A kind of takeaway of like, we can't let that running game get going.
And honestly, pretty smart and pretty effective if you're looking at it from that perspective, right? I mean, Jahmyr Gibbs, two games, he's had like his worst performances all year against the Packers. The one that really killed them was just like the one-on-ones whenever J-Mo got opportunities. And it's just like, you're just going to lose those battles. Sorry. Yep. Like J-Mo's a better receiver than any of the defensive backs that do the Packers have a $28 million defensive back other than Xavier McKinney? No. So if you match up with anyone else and they don't match up Xavier McKinney one-on-one very much, he's going to beat them, and he should beat them. Kind of bailed us out that Amon-Ra St. Brown didn't play so much. I think that it's kind of a little bit of a blessing for, some more of those man coverage looks, right? Could have been in the slot, which is the matchup we always talk about, where it's like, that's one of our worst matchups just from like a personnel perspective, one-on-one against a division opponent that we have on the schedule. So getting out of that really helped the Packers, I think. Big win for sure. Helps them a lot in the playoff race, considering that no one else is, and I guess the Rams dropped the game, but outside of that, the Packers aren't getting any help from, Niners, Seahawks, all those other teams losing football games. But the Lions are on on their lifeline right now. And you're listening to this probably on Thursday. They're going to be getting ready for the Dallas Cowboys. And that's almost like a loser leaves town match at this point.
I talked about this the other day too. It's about 10. It's just around 10% either way for the losing team to make the playoffs. If they lose in this game, it's basically over. It's a 90% chance that you don't make the playoffs if you lose this game. So it's a money in the bank brief, not quite a money in the bank briefcase, but if you don't come home with it, you're completely out of options pretty much at that point.
Yeah. It's tough. And the Cowboys are red hot too. Detroit has some real problems. Like, pass rush wise, I just don't know if anyone other than Hutchinson is going to get home, and Hutchinson hasn't been Hutchinson this year. Have you looked at the Jared Goff contract? It's going to be really interesting to see what they do moving forward, because they're going to have to, I mean, they're going to keep him, but they're just going to go into cap debt for that, which just means, you know, roster decay is coming. It's coming.
Windows close fast, Justice. Windows close very, very fast in the NFL.
Yep. Yep. And Ragnar's not coming back either.
No.
That was weird. One of my more famous. Do you think he's a moron or was trying to trick him? Like, it has to be one of the two.
Well, I've heard people say, like, his pain tolerance is just different. Like, I don't know if I can quite get to that level. I can't imagine he's trying to screw over the Lions.
All I saw was a infographic. I am not a doctor. I like to put that on the front end. I saw like an infographic of what the difference between like a grade one, grade two, and grade three hamstring sprain is. A grade three is basically like that thing is severed.
Yes.
It was like,
it's not great. Yeah, no, it's brutal. So I have no idea. It seems very odd. Is that like, I can't imagine it's one of those like Dan Campbell motivating the teams of like, hey guys, we just win this game and Frank Ragnow is coming right back around the corner. Like, I don't know. None of it adds up. Like, no matter what way you do it, like, I can't imagine it was like a motivation thing. I can't imagine he was trying to get just another paycheck and trick the Lions. Like, they're going to find a grade three strain, that's not going to be it. I can't imagine he just didn't think it was anything. I don't know. The whole thing is very weird.
Yeah. So
my best guess is that he probably knew he had something and was just like, it's my last time. I've got like, I can make it through like six games on this thing. Like I'll make it through. I've toughed through worse injuries in the past, whatever it is. I'll be able to make it through five or six games. And they got there and like, what, dude, you like, this is not okay. Like there's no chance you can play.
Yeah. Looking like pulled pork on the back of your leg. No, bad idea.
Very bad idea. Especially like if you've sat the entire year and you're going to come in cold in like week 15 or something.
We got deep into this in the APC Slack. We were like looking up like Instagram photos of Frank Ragnow, and we're like, there's no way he's over like 280 right now. Like he's 20 pounds away right now. Yeah.
The whole thing is very odd, extremely odd. I guess it's just desperation, maybe on both parts. Maybe Ragnow wanted one more paycheck. Maybe the Lions were willing to try anything at this point on the offensive line, but very, very odd situation. Speaking of injuries, obviously the big thing was Devontae Wyatt going out in this game, the one real kind of negative from this game. The Packers did sign a defensive tackle. I was waiting for this. I was surprised it didn't happen a little bit sooner. It seemed crazy. Like they got through Tuesday and I'm like, they seriously didn't add a defensive tackle yet, but they get through Wednesday and they sign Jordan Riley off the Giants practice squad. He does have some NFL playing time and starts in his career. Obviously a former Oregon Duck. So a little bit of familiarity for you, but, what do you make of the Jordan Riley signing?
Yeah. People spam me about that. And we're like, duck, Justice knows something. I asked some people around and I mean, they were basically like nose tackle, all that stuff. But, you see that like, on like his college bio and stuff, it was like, he started all of the 2022 season. I don't remember this at all. And then I looked it up and he played like 200 snaps. So he was playing like 15-ish snaps a game for Oregon. So
yeah,
not a full-time starter. He was only there for a year or two. I know a guy who coached at Garden City when he was there, and I actually hit him up and he's supposed to get back to me tonight about what he's kind of like and, you know, why he went. Because he played at what, four schools? I think is how it worked out. He was up somewhere, went to JUCO, then went to a different school, and then ended up at Oregon is kind of how it ended up working out. He was one of the guys who benefited from the fact that they got that COVID freebie in 2020. I think he's like 27 already. So he's no spring chicken. I was actually looking through defensive tackles and I would have thought the Packers would have gone after someone who had played in 2025. Cause there were some guys who were out there.
Yep.
They didn't end up going out that route. I mean, there were like Domota Pecco is out there on practice squads. What is his name? Carlos Watkins, who was like a nose tackle for Houston for a long time. Is out there on a practice squad. I would have thought they would have kind of gone down that route, but they ended up going Jordan Riley. I do think it is very interesting. So Wyatt is an under tackle and they lose Wyatt
and they don't get an under tackle
and they grab a nose tackle.
Yeah.
So I think this is less about backfilling for Wyatt and adding competition to Stackhouse.
Honestly. Yeah.
I think it's going to, yeah. I mean, it's going to be Wooden and Brooks moving forward. And then they seem more than willing to give Warren Brinson the backup looks behind Brooks. And then Jordan Riley is probably going to eat up. I don't think it's going to happen this week. You know, off of 1 week of practice, but like, I think down the line, they're going to want Jordan Riley playing more snaps than Stackhouse. Cause I think they want to just kind of protect Stackhouse a little bit. I mean, they seem to like Stackhouse isn't even really playing in like situational football right now. Like it's not just goal line snaps. It's not just short yard. Like, it's just like long drives he'll get in just like randomly, but they're like, we're not going to play him more than like eight snaps a game.
Yeah.
I don't think they really want to play him. I think they want to have him on the 53. Don't want to expose him to waivers. Don't want him going on the practice squad so he can get poached. But they want to sit on him, his contract, and have him redshirt this year and just have him under cost-controlled contract going into next season. So it'll be interesting to see kind of how that shapes up down the line. Wouldn't be surprised if Riley was the nose tackle two at some point. I did watch some of his Giants film from last year. Didn't watch any of the preseason or anything like that. There is some nice stuff. I expect zero pass rush production out of this guy. I know people pull up the RAS charts and they're like, wow, he's terrible at RAS. We've brought this up before where I think you defensive tackles are like the one, like the RAS charts, you can't look at them because they're such different weights.
338, the one you're, when you're 338, just throw everything out the window at defensive tackle. Yeah. All of the RAS stuff is going to look terrible when you're 338 pounds.
Yeah, like maybe this is something I'll do during draft season, but like we have to create like a weight adjustment and base it off of weight instead of just overall and use weight as like one of the filters, because he is athletic for his size. Like that is why he is in the NFL right now. Mind you, Jordan Riley wasn't a guy who ended up at the combine. He wasn't at the East-West Shrine game. He wasn't at the Senior Bowl. He was an NFL PA Collegiate Bowl guy. And he still ended up getting drafted. And the way that the combine process works, if you guys don't know, I think teams get like 300 names and they each send them to National, which is one of two big like third-party independent scouting services that teams subscribe to. So there's Blesto and there's National, and teams are usually one of the two. National runs the scouting combine. The NFL actually doesn't run the scouting combine. It's ran by this third-party scouting service. And like teams have like a National scout or like a Blesto scout. It's basically like a developmental scouting service for them, in the same way that like NFL referees go to like the UFL or whatever in the spring, and then they come up and stuff like that. And so what NFL teams do is they put in like 300 names, and then it's, you know, just straight tallies, right? And, you know, whichever the top like 350 names tallies wise for prospects, like those are the guys who get combine invites. Okay. So Jordan Riley wasn't one of those guys. So he was kind of a late riser, but he was a late riser. I do remember him getting involved like late in the draft prospects, draft process, taking visits and stuff like that, because of how athletic he is at his size. Now, you'll look at the RAS charts and you'll be like, what do you mean he's athletic? He has a 1.3 or whatever. Well, that's because he's like 330 or whatever he was listed at coming out after his pro day at Oregon. So, yeah, I mean, that's just kind of my thoughts on Riley. I think the most important thing is that, or I guess the most significant thing, I mean, who knows the most important thing? Most important thing is might be that they didn't grab another guy, right? But the most significant thing, I think, is that they picked a nose tackle. They lost a three tech and they picked a nose tackle. Those are kind of different positions, and that's important, especially in the context of Stackhouse.
We'll be right back. Today's show is brought to you by Prize Picks. It's the holiday season, the best time of the year for sports, bowl games, marquee basketball matchups, playoff pushes. It's all happening at the same time. And while you and I are out making decisions every single day, like what gifts to buy, what to get for dinner, or which games to watch, there's only one place where it feels good to be right: Prize Picks. I love how simple Prize Picks is to use and how fun it is to play. The football season has been even more fun this year with Prize Picks, and getting in my picks for each slate of games has been a super fun part of each football week. Oh, and guess what? Prize Picks has a brand new feature: early payouts. If your lineup gets off to a hot start, you may now have the option to cash out winnings before the game even finishes. So join the millions of users and sign up for America's number one fantasy sports app. This week, I'm going with Josh Jacobs against Chicago as Green Bay regains that top seed in the North. I'm also going to be keeping my eye on Puka Nacua, Josh Allen, and Jonathan Taylor. Now it's time for you to get in on the action too, so download the Prize Picks app today using code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. It's good to be right. So we all know a chef, a griller, a cooking hobbyist, or a stay-at-home parent who just enjoys making really good food for their family. I have a couple in my family and have seen them light up when they get that perfect ingredient, a piece of cookware, or a new grilling accessory as a present. I know because I love cooking and recently received some Omaha steaks, and I was beyond overjoyed. This holiday season, you can give the gift of USDA certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, cozy and convenient comfort meals, and so much more with Omaha Steaks. When I got my Omaha Steaks, I fired up the grill immediately, and I couldn't wait to taste the grass-fed, grain-finished steaks that showed incredible marbling. It was the perfect gift, and the flavor ended up being unbelievable. Now, Omaha Steaks delivers an exclusive lineup of USDA-certified tender steaks and their fan favorite filet mignons have achieved the distinction of USDA certified very tender. And of course, they also carry mouthwatering burgers, chicken, pork, seafood, and delectable desserts. So right now, save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All the Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code PACKADAY at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com using code PACKADAY. Jordan Ridley was 557th on the NFL mock draft database, consensus big board for that year. Not that PFF grades are necessarily anything. In 2023, he played 135 snaps with a 33.1 grade. Not great. 2024, he played 248 snaps with a 34.3 grade. And if you're hoping the preseason grades are better, in 2023 at a 51.9, in 2024 at a 49.7, and this past year had a 37.7. So has not torn it up from a PFF grading standpoint. Again, not that that matters a whole hell of a lot.
Did he... 23. So like, is he going to be an ERFA? So like, he's always been thought of as like a project type of guy. And there are flashes of it. Like, again, I watched the Giants, a little bit of the Giants film, and there are flashes of him as a run stopper where he's just kind of demolishing blocks in the run game by just being big and strong. My big question is, are you going to be able to ERFA him, you know, if he's an exclusive rights free agent? Because this, if he played more than, or if he was on the roster for more than what, like 4 weeks in 2023, this would be his third season. So he would be an RFA after this year.
So yeah, I'd have to go back and look at it. That would make more sense. Over the Cap doesn't have it yet. And Spotrac doesn't have it listed either. So, I'm not positive on it right now, but yeah, we'll have to take a look at it to see, because that definitely does make a difference. It would be a bummer if he doesn't have any exclusive rights free agents eligibility left, because you're certainly probably, unless he has an unbelievable second half of this year, like not even second half, like last 5 to 9 games or whatever.
Right. Yeah, no. So he played 8 games in 23.
Okay.
And the Packers are going to have him on the roster for 3 weeks because they practice squad poached.
Yep.
So I'm assuming that they're going to exhaust. So this will be his third accrued season after this. So he'll be an RFA after this. So they're just signing him for the end of this year. So you're taking a project and you get a half a season out of him. Better start coaching quick. Covington, let's see what you're made out of.
Worth noting for what Justice said there too, is when you poach somebody off of a practice squad, you get them for, you have to have them for, you don't have to have them for 3 weeks, but you have to pay them for 3 weeks, and you don't get the roster spot back if you cut them for the 3 weeks. So you're stuck with them for 3 weeks, basically no matter what. So he will be a Packer in week, 14, 15, and 16. And then they can make a decision from there if they want to go in a different direction, but he's got 3 weeks with the Packers pretty much for sure.
Yep. So that's kind of how that thing works out.
Other than adding Riley, thoughts on how Green Bay can, I don't want to say survive, that's aggressive, but just kind of get by with no Devontae Wyatt?
Well, it'll be helpful to have Brooks back, right?
I was happy he was practicing today. That was...
So he was limited, and then also, the fact that they didn't go after a three technique and they went after a nose tackle, I think kind of gives us a hint that, like, okay, Brooks is going to play this week, right? So I think that'll help. Outside of that, like, that's kind of it, right? I mean, you got the guys that you got, better make do with it. You know, maybe teams aren't as afraid of the pass rush anymore with Wyatt out, and okay, Micah Parsons, Rashawn Gary, step up. It's time. Help too when LVN's able to get in the mix and he can play a little bit more three tech and stuff like that in the cheetah packages. I know he's dealing with the foot, and it seems like he's not going to be ready maybe sometime soon, but it doesn't seem like this week, right?
I was also, well, they haven't technically, did they put Wyatt technically on IR yet?
No. They still have a roster spot that they can manipulate. This is probably going to be Reed going up.
My point was going to be, I was happy with the fact that we didn't see LVN be on IR at least, but they haven't even put Wyatt on IR yet. So I guess we can't necessarily glean anything from the fact. All that would matter is that they would do it before this week so that they would get the 4 weeks kicked off or whatever. But I'm hoping that they don't have to IR him. That would be, that would be really brutal.
Yeah. If they do that, that would suck for sure. I mean, I did think it was interesting that they brought up both Oliver and Brent Cox to practice when you already have, what, you have six DNs on the roster right now. Like, there's not a lot of room there. And five of those six, you're not moving away from.
No.
Right. I mean, the only guy that you would drop would be Mosby, but that's if LVN is healthy.
Correct. Which,
if LVN is healthy, why do you need Oliver or Cox? I don't think either of them are going to play over Sorrell at this point.
I don't think so either. So,
I don't know if they were just like had it as a just in case thing. Like, I don't really understand the timing of it. I mean, maybe
I don't think Oliver gets activated. I think he gets shut down. I mean, his literal first practice as a Green Bay Packer was today. Even the rookie mini camp was not, I was there, it was not a practice. That was like basically an orientation of like, here's how we stretch, here's how we do stuff. It was the only person who practiced that day was Taylor Algersma. They like went him through like a full like workout basically. So this was his first practice on Wednesday that he's had as a Green Bay Packer. I can't imagine that after 3 weeks, they're going to be like, I mean, now if he looks amazing, sure, go for it. Awesome. But outside of like getting a look at him for 3 weeks and then probably just shutting him down, I think that's all this is.
I mean, just bank the reps, know what you have going into 2026. I think that makes sense. I do think they want Lloyd on. I think they think Lloyd is better than Emmanuel Wilson. Like, I think that they're going to try to make that happen at some point. Cox, I'm not sure what the plan is there. I mean, maybe you bring him up and you healthy scratch Sorrell, but I mean, that would have to depend on LVN being healthy. Those defensive ends play a lot of the special team snaps, and Cox doesn't do that.
Cox doesn't,
It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough for him to make this team.
I want to talk about Lloyd for a moment because I know he's like a internet meme at the moment for basically never being able to play and whatever. And I don't know if you saw, like, I think it was a calf that he was limited with, right? It was not a hamstring, which is what he initially went on IR for. So is this another injury for Marshawn Lloyd, which I don't even know what to make of that. I'm obviously one of the people that got to watch him. Like, the only time he's ever been healthy has been in certain stretches of training camp, right? Like,
right. He's played one game.
Yes.
Right.
I cannot stress to people how good he looked. And I am like, usually like, hey, it's practice, it's training camp, whatever. It doesn't mean a whole heck of a lot, especially in the running game, right? Like in the running game and training camp, there's not always a ton that you can kind of glean from it. He looked so insanely good. And Matt LaFleur, I think it was last year around this time when they were asking him something of like how you can get more explosive plays in the passing game, like went out of his way and said something to the effect of, well, we think we're going to get like Marshawn Lloyd back in the running game, and we think he's going to be able to provide that explosive ability for us. They had packages for him. He's an unbelievably talented dude. And I understand that like getting any hopes up at this point for like what he's going to be, but I can't stress enough how good he looked. And I think he can legitimately add a real spark to the running game, where especially with Jacobs, who I love watching him run, and he gets extra yardage inside, but you don't always see like Aaron Jones had the ability to like kind of bounce things to the outside and just kind of create stuff out of nowhere. Lloyd has that sort of ability where it's like, oh, everything's, you know, kind of hemmed in here. Like, let me just go and create something, and he can go and do that. And I just think it would add something real and legitimate to this team. I'm also not like holding my breath or getting my hopes up. But if he does see the field, I think he adds a real interesting element to this team.
Yeah, I think they're going to try to make it work. Right. I mean, third round pick, all that stuff. I mean, you've hardly ever seen him on the field, all that. Like, when he gets his opportunity, they're going to try to make it happen. And roster crunch wise, like, again, I know there's a lot of Manuel Wilson people, but like, I don't think Lloyd is going to be their pass blocker.
No. Nope.
So like, if they only go into a game with three running backs, I think it's probably Wilson who's going to get scratched for Lloyd, depending on how this looks down the stretch.
That's the interesting thing to me, is because I mean, I think Wilson's done well, and Brooks, I don't know who gets scratched. And maybe to your point, maybe it's Wilson, maybe it is just Lloyd. Like, maybe Lloyd stays on the right, or maybe they find a way, but it's hard to activate four.
Or maybe it's, it's very hard to activate four, even with Brooks playing special teams, because Wilson hasn't done it, and I don't even know what Lloyd would do on special teams, right? I just don't have that.
You'd almost have to go down to like five receivers, and maybe when all five are healthy,
or not
maybe
the safety.
Yeah, that's you could.
It would
do
have
that
to
too.
Be like Lloyd replacing like Zane Anderson or something, or Catan, one of them.
Yeah. I do think that there's a chance that Lloyd could really return kicks. I think he could actually be very good at
I
that.
Bet he'd
but
be good at it. Yeah.
Yeah. But he also had a huge fumbling problem in college, and maybe that's not what you want either. So who knows?
Speaking of kicks,
let's go.
Savion with the foot.
Out again.
Weird. I don't, because I thought last week, because the way it was always branded, right, is like, oh, he's in a walking boot. Oh, no, he's like that all the time. Like, he's just dealing with this pain issue. And then it's, okay, we have the short week against Detroit. Okay, maybe it's because of the short week turnaround.
Right.
Well, now he's had, like, 2 weeks to rest up that foot, and he's out in practice. So I'm like, I don't know.
Don't know either. I wish they had a legitimate returner in some way, shape, or form that could do kick returns and punt returns, but they don't. So, well, they do. They have Nixon at the kick return, at least, but they don't use him there. I don't know. It's a weird
thing. They had Shepherd up last game. He didn't get a single snap. They brought up three guys from the practice squad. They brought up Shepherd. They brought up the linebacker, Jamon Johnson, and they brought up the like safety cornerback, Jalen Simpson. And
really
the only guy that they used was Jamon Johnson. They used him on special teams. That was it.
Good extra paycheck for the two players that got called up and didn't have to do anything. But
Shout out to you guys.
Yeah, nice job. Well done. I like little bits against the salary cap too. That those little bits add up over time.
Those will be fine. I'd rather have the break in case of emergency. We're down three receivers.
It's about 40K per practice squad call up, right?
That's
around
fine.
There.
They have the money. They have.
Oh
the
yeah,
money.
I know. All of a sudden though, like you get to. You do like 20 of those throughout the course of the year, and that's like an extra $800,000 contract through the course of the year. But it is what
it is. This is what we talk about when we're talking about the salary cap, and people are like, what do you mean we're over the salary cap? I see so much of this on over the cap. And I'm like, you're not including the full 53-man roster, the rookie contracts, what you're going to spend on replacing guys on IR, the practice squad, all that counts against the salary cap. So no, we're not under the cap, folks. We're not under the cap.
What any depth chart notes from this one? Nothing major.
No, not really. I mean, nothing interesting. I mean, for the most part, this is what we got. I mean, so many guys were banged up that we didn't get a whole lot of variation, especially when the new guys who got called up, two guys fully just it was probably three, right? Because Monk was up too. Three guys just fully did not play in this game. So you functionally had a 45-man roster. Yeah, we didn't learn a damn thing, Andy.
Sometimes that's okay. I spent my entire college career not learning a damn thing, so sometimes it works out okay. All right, wide receiver depth chart. If you get Golden and Reed back, how are you? And like to begin with, it may be a situation where Reed's limited and Golden is limited, and it may not be an issue. But let's say all of your receivers are healthy. How are you piecing this thing together?
So what I think the team is going to do is they're going to have Christian and Romeo on the outside, Jaden Reed on the inside, and then Wicks and Golden are going to rotate at both outside, inside, and they're going to be, I don't think it's going to matter which one's wide receiver four, wide receiver five. I think they're both going to get mixed in, but I think that's just what the lineup's going to look like. And I'm sure people listening to this are going to tear their hair out because they're like, I've seen all the Matthew Golden stuff already that people are like, we're not feeding him enough. And I'm like, Christian just got healthy. Jaden Reed is just about to get healthy. Like his opportunities are only going to become less and less. Now it's going to open up next year when Romeo's not in the picture. Right. Yes. But that's what it is right now. I mean, until they start sitting Romeo, I don't think that they're going to do it. And Romeo has been a guy who's been their number one outside receiver all season. Like Christian's getting a decent amount of slot snaps right now. And they're running crossers and doing cool stuff with him. I don't think it's a problem that he's playing in the slot.
Nope.
But Romeo is their outside receiver. That's who they want at the outside. So until I see otherwise, I'm just, it's December, right? they would have to do something that they haven't done since probably at some point last season. And I don't think that they're doing it. So I need to see it to believe it.
I do enjoy like the, it seems like sometimes, maybe it's not, but it seems like sometimes the same people that are, why isn't Romeo getting more snaps? We need to get Romeo more snaps. Or sorry, why isn't Golden getting more snaps? We need to get Golden more snaps. And also we have to re-sign Romeo Doubs. It's like those things aren't going to go together very, very well. That's why, again, I'm not to the, I'd be like stunned or like completely stunned or shocked, but I'd be very, very surprised if Romeo is back next year. When you draft a receiver in the first and the third round, the writing is already on the wall. I talked about this last week on who's staying, who's going. I just can't see a world where Romeo is back next year.
No, I think the Packers correctly identified, like, this is the perfect player to have just like having a contract expire. Right. Where it's like, we don't really want to extend him. We're in a position like early in the season, right? Christian's out, Reed is out. Like, we need the body at wide receiver. We don't want to trade him. Even if you look at the trade market, right? Like I told you guys months ago, like one of the offers was Jaguars. They offered like a 6th round pick.
Just doesn't do anything.
You're going to get more for that compensatory pick in 27 if he becomes a free agent, right? So I think, if you don't feel the need to extend him, which they don't seem to feel the need to, this is exactly how you play it. You just let the contract expire, wait until Romeo Doubs is like the number one young receiver on the market next year, assuming that George Pickens gets hit with like the franchise tag or something like that. And then you collect the compensatory pick and you turn it into another Romeo Doubs. That's the whole point of this thing.
On that note, if they don't get that extension for Christian Watson, what is Christian Watson on the open market go for next year? In 26, meaning if they didn't get that one extension done.
His production was better than JMO.
I said the same thing to Mike Wall. I said, I think it's the JMO contract. I think it's the JMO contract.
20, it's 20 plus. I don't know. Yeah. Like the good comparison this year is going to be Alex Pierce. So whatever Alex Pierce signs for in free agency, right? That's probably around the range that Christian Watson would sign for. And then you guys at home can do the math on how much value the Packers got, but they're probably going to get like $8 million in value off of that alone. So,
So what was that? A 1 year, 11, something like that.
Yeah. In my brain, it's 12 for some reason, but yeah.
Yeah. I think it's 11, but either way, it's around there either way. I did not realize this. They did, void years, but it's like $30 million a year in money for void years with the, sure. I knew they did voids, but I didn't realize that it was, they give him $30 million per year in the contract.
It doesn't matter, right?
No, it's the same thing. A billion. They could give him a billion. Yeah.
Well, that's like what the Saints used to do with like Taysom Hill. Do you remember that? Like they were like Taysom Hill, $50 million void year. And it would like be reported as like a 6 year, $300 million contract, even though it was like one for 20. Like,
yeah. Even that was too much, but that's another topic for another day. Christian only be 27 next year, by the way. I mean, if he could stay healthy on that contract all next year,
he might get an extension in spring.
This offseason. Yeah. It'd probably be smart too. His cap number in 26 is only 6.9. So it's certainly workable to keep it on that, but it certainly would be worthwhile to have that discussion for sure. Let's talk Packers Bears. I know you wrote an article on Caleb holding the ball too long. Let's talk about that first.
Yeah. So I just went through a bunch of numbers and then just try to find like a scouting report basically on like what the Bears were. Cause I've watched some of these games. They don't make a lot of sense to me. So I tried to kind of look for data to just kind of like root like what is the Bears offense? Right. And I think by the time you guys listen to this, I'll probably have one up on the defense on Thursday. The Bears offense is a very successful running game that relies on Caleb Williams scrambles and specifically runs outside of the tackle. Kyle Munningai is much more efficient running the football than DeAndre Swift is. If you look at their numbers back to back, you'll see like, oh, they have like the same yards per carry. There must be like no difference. The situations that they're running in, like some of the like DeAndre Swift carries are like draws on third and long. Right. Or, hey, you get 6 yards, but it was a 3rd and 10. Like that's very different from an EPA perspective. So the running backs actually kind of cancel each other out. Like as good as Munningai is, compared to is as bad as like Swift is. And then you get the added bonus of all the stuff that Caleb does as a scrambler. From a passing game standpoint, I think they're really living off of that offensive line right now. Caleb Williams is able to hold the ball. He does not get the ball out of his hands very fast. He is 32nd in the NFL in time to throw, or the Bears are 32nd in the NFL in time to throw. You know, we talked about quick pressures and all that stuff, and NFL Pro does the cutoff at 3 seconds. He is the only quarterback who holds on to the ball for longer than 3 seconds consistently. So we're not going to be seeing, you know, the Jameis Winston balls out like immediately type of thing. It's going to be really interesting to see how the Bears adapt to this defense, because teams have been afraid of our pass rush. They have been getting the ball out very quick. And that is kind of the opposite of what Chicago has been doing this entire season. And Ben Johnson has even said that that's kind of an issue for him, right? Like, Caleb Williams has a sub 60% completion percentage, and he doesn't seem very happy about that. So I think this game, at least when the Bears have the ball, it's going to be a lot of like, I think it's going to be a lot less of the like 15 play drives, like Halfley sitting back, and, you know, we get to watch the bloodletting up until we get to the goal line and we figure out, hey, is the team going to win at the goal line or not? Right. Yep. Like the kind of game plan that we've been seeing recently, I think it's going to be a lot more like we're going to be able to point out where it's like, oh, Caleb made that play, or we got that sack, or we got that interception. I think it's going to be a lot more splash events than what we're used to on a play-by-play basis. I mean, guys, you guys are going to be shocked. Caleb Williams, I don't know if you've heard of this guy. He can move around a little bit. It's going to be a huge game for Rashawn Gary and Micah Parsons. If I'm in that D-line room, like, Micah, you can chase him. Rashawn, you're setting the edge. Rashawn, under no circumstance are you allowed to chase Caleb Williams. This year, you are nowhere near fast enough to actually be able to take him down. Micah might be one of the few pass rushers who, like, if you had to play, like, flag football, like, one-on-one in open space, he might be the only, like, one of the few guys who can actually get that flag off of Caleb's hip this year. So, yeah, everyone stay in your lanes, please. Gap integrity. It's going to be very important this week.
Super important. Are you going to do any spying, or with, if assuming Quay can play?
He can outrush him.
Yeah, that's probably true. Even Coop, you think? Yeah, you probably can. Yeah, he's
Cooper. Like, I would much rather do it with Cooper than
Quay.
Because Cooper's hips are better. But like, dude, if McDuffie is back there, no chance. No. I'll blitz McDuffie, flush him out of the pocket. Like, get him moving. I don't want you chasing Caleb. I don't want you chasing Caleb.
Yeah, I remember when I bring this up probably once a year, but like, I was at the Falcons game with Michael Vick in the playoff game in Green Bay, and Hardy Nickerson's at linebacker. And I still have nightmares of Hardy Nickerson at age 77, whatever he was at that point, trying to chase prime Michael Vick in the open field. And it was the most depressing thing I've ever seen in my life. It was like a grandpa versus a college kid. It was just not fair. And, yeah, like, just keeping him on the second level, you're just in no man's land. You can't do anything in that situation. So, yeah, I'm with you. Yeah. Just bring the pressure. See if you can catch him off guard, get a sack.
Flush him. Exactly. Yeah, I mean, flush him and hold your rush lanes. I mean, that's a better way to do it than to play quarterback spy. I kind of think quarterback spy stuff is, like, super overrated at this point in the NFL. Because if the quarterback is running like that, he can make that guy miss. So, like, what good is the spy? Like, at least have him cover someone.
Yeah, no, I'm totally with you in the same thing. Yeah, I'm interested in that. I know you mentioned kind of the run game earlier with Menungai and Swift, but, you know, obviously they had a tremendous amount of success last week against Philly. Are you sort of selling out the same way that Green Bay did a little bit early to stop the run in this game? Or, like, how are you, if you're putting your, you know, Jeff Halfley hat on for a moment, where's your starting point? We'll be right back. Hey friends, I've got some great news for you. I've got part of your holiday shopping already taken care of. I am absolutely obsessed with my new Ridge wallet, and it's going to make an absolutely perfect holiday gift for just about everyone in your life. It's also a perfect gift suggestion for yourself as well. I'll be honest, I was just about done with wallets. I suffer from back pain, which doesn't help. Plus, they are clunky to carry around, and I just don't even like having a wallet with me. That was until I discovered Ridge. Ridge is known for their unique, slim, and modern wallets. And Ridge has been perfecting the wallet for 12 years, and their new Ridge 2.0 is 10% lighter. Plus, they have over 50 colors and styles to choose from, including every NFL, MLB, or college team. And I just know that that Packers one is already calling out to you. Now, Ridge is over 100,000 five-star reviews, and with their Ridge Tracker card, you'll always know exactly where it is before panic mode kicks in. And right now, for a limited time, Ridge is having their huge holiday sale. Head to RIDGE.com to get 47% off your order. This is by far the biggest discount they've given all year. That's RIDGE.com, Ridge.com, for up to 47% off your order during their biggest sale of the year. And after you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them Packaday sent you. All right, so you know what I have no time for in my life anymore? Irritation. And I really don't have time for neck irritation. Now, I've tried just about every form of razor that you could possibly imagine. And no matter what, there always seems to be some sort of issue or irritation that comes from them. That was until I switched to Harry's Plus. Harry's Plus gives you a barbershop quality shave with German engineered blades that are each honed at three different angles to cut hair evenly without tugging. These blades are optimized to glide smoothly and easily, and every cartridge includes a lubricating strip with aloe and vitamin E to calm skin while you shave. And the best part is how affordable it is. Now, Harry's controls the entire process from steel to shelf, and they are able to keep the cost low because of it. So why pay $30 for refills when Harry's gives you better blades for a fraction of that? And right now, for a limited time, our listeners can get the Harry's Plus trial set for only $10 at harrys.com/packaday. This set includes the all-new Harry's Plus razor, one refined five-blade cartridge, a 2-ounce foaming shave gel, and a travel cover to protect your blades on the go. Just head to harrys.com/packaday to claim this offer. And after your purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them Packaday sent you.
I mean, you have to stop the run, right? I mean, I guess you kind of figure it out by ear, which I know is kind of like a cop-out. But, like, the Eagles were really bad at tackling last week. I went back and watched that game, and because I had it on in the background on Black Friday, but I was, like, doing a bunch of other stuff too. So, like, I wanted to actually give it my full attention. I watched that game. So many missed tackles at the linebacker and safety level. I was really surprised. I mean, damn, if our offensive line could have gotten past the front line of the Eagles, maybe we could have made their guys miss like that too. But yeah, Chicago's offensive line is really good, but I don't really worry about the run defense right now, to be totally honest with you. Like, that's not an issue with this team. I know people will probably whine about it because people whine about everything, but like, you could look at like our efficiency numbers in the run game. Like, we're like top three in the NFL right now in terms of stopping the run. We're really good in pass defense too, in general. I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that like, teams just aren't even trying to do it. They aren't even like, yeah, really trying to pass against us. So yeah, I mean, get Caleb Williams in weird situations where he's third down and has to move around in the pocket and stuff, and maybe Micah Parsons will be able to tee off on him on the backside. So yeah, stop the run. Really important. Rashawn, please, for the love of God. Dude, like, this is almost like a Rashawn Gary statement game spot, because we're going to have to lean on him, you know, with Wyatt out. With, I mean, Kenny Clark was supposed to be our nose tackle to start the year. He's not here anymore, right? Like, LVN is banged up. Like, we need someone other than Parsons, and the next candidate now for sure is Rashawn Gary. Like, we got to have it. We got to have it in this game.
And you know, too, come playoff time, and not like it hasn't happened already, but come playoff time, every offense is going to go into those games saying Micah can't beat us, and they're going to do everything they can to try Micah, to make sure Micah does not have the opportunity. So it's going to take Rashawn Gary to step up and have a massive just run. And like, he really needs to play at his top level from here through the end of the, you know, hopefully through the Super Bowl. Would be great if on the other side. Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, the only team that's like kind of let us get one-on-ones consistently with Arizona. Yes, that's the one time. Other than that, everyone already is like, we cannot let Micah Parsons win this football game. Now, execution-wise, results may vary, right? Like, he's still up there in sack numbers, up there in pressure numbers, all that stuff. You can't really just take a guy out of the game like that. But Arizona's really the only team that's like let us have a fair shake at it.
I did like Halfley's play this past week on that first third down where they're clearly getting ready to double or maybe even triple at that point, Micah, and Micah drops into coverage. They bring McKinney off of one side. Yeah. They bring McDuffie from the middle and they both get home. And there's three guys that are now blocking one because Micah drops into coverage. Yep. Like, I do think that we, this is something I think you and I talked about when they first acquired them of like the different ways that you can utilize them. And if teams do overcommit and have two or three guys on, because we know he's capable of, playing like basically full-time off ball linebacker if you need him to, like you drop him into that spot and all of a sudden you're nuking two or three players that were expecting to block him. It does bring up some very unique situations. I thought that was a great play to pull that out early in the game. It worked perfect. And if anything, I'm almost surprised they didn't get a sack fumble out of that the way that they got home on him so quick.
Yeah, Halfley's great. The way that he adapts to his personnel has been pretty awesome to watch, because the way that this defense operates is totally different than last year's defense. But now if you can kind of sprinkle in some of that disguised blitz stuff, even though you have Micah Parsons, now we're kicking into an extra gear.
I had this on my list for you a little bit later, but since we're here, where are we on Halfley watch? What's your DEFCON number? I don't even know if I think lower number is worse, right? I don't even know what it is. Doesn't matter. But where are we at on Halfley watch?
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure he'll get interviews.
Yeah.
Right. I'm sure he'll get interviews.
Is there like a known like number one head coaching candidate going into this cycle?
I don't think so, but want to hear a funny rumor?
Yeah.
Okay. Apparently the guy Tennessee is looking after is Nagy.
Interesting.
That's what I thought. I was like, him.
I mean, he got stuck with Trubisky almost the entire time, right?
Yeah, but worth noting, the guy in Tennessee is a former Packers guy, the guy who's actually running the show. I don't think he's the general manager, but he's like the president or whatever. It's like Baker or Banker. I can't remember what his name is. Yeah. But he's a former Packers guy, so you would think that he'd be high on the list. I know. The Giants have like a bunch of ties to like Boston College stuff. I think some of that comes from like the Tom Coughlin era and all that. So like maybe he's a guy there.
Clint Kubiak, Joe Brady. I don't know.
Clint's going to get a shot. Yeah.
Clint's going to get a lot.
Yeah. What he's done in Seattle in a 1 year turnaround is nuts.
Yep.
And he's doing it with Darnold.
What's that?
And he's doing it with Darnold.
Oh, Darnold. Right? Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Mike McCarthy. Mike McCarthy's out there.
When we did Giants stuff, I asked a bunch of Giants people about like people in media who are Giants fans, not people who work for the Giants. I want to specify for that, right? I asked a bunch of like thoughts about their team and stuff like that. Every single one of them asked me what I thought about Mike McCarthy. And I was like, really? Would have thought it would have been Halfley. Didn't expect McCarthy to be super high on your guys' list. But I think like a lot of the stuff, the word that was used with me with all the Daboll stuff was like country club. I think they want a disciplinarian in New York. I think you could see with all the like the Abdul Carter stuff where they're like benching him like every first quarter because he's missing like every meeting throughout the week. Like they're fighting that. Plus the whole like Scatabo Jackson Dart frat bro vibe that they got going on. I think they're like, holy crap, we need an adult at the ship, like so fast. You know, and Halfley doesn't scream disciplinarian. Like
he does not.
I think he will hold.
I don't think New York is a good fit for him. Honestly, I don't think that that's the right market for Jeff Halfley. But
no, he's from Jersey, so he's taking like FaceTimes with his family on the field.
Yeah, I suppose. You know who's probably doing some heavy lifting for Mike McCarthy right now too, is Sean Payton. Is Sean Payton having the success in Denver as like a coach during that era who had success, Super Bowl wins, etc. That probably doesn't hurt McCarthy either.
I guess I had heard that like he was looking at, I think it was Patricia as like the DC potentially.
If McCarthy gets a job,
yeah, it was Patricia. Who's the OC? Damn, I'm forgetting who the here. We can move on to a different topic, but I'll look through my messages and I'll see who the.
Trying to think OC. Who it would possibly be. I'm like, I don't know if I would guess it. Is it Doug Peterson? Is Doug Peterson going to be his OC?
No, dude, I don't think his name is good in this town anymore. I don't.
Yeah.
I don't think that he's going to be around.
I think who else it could be. Yeah, I don't know. I'll let you pull that up. Yeah, I think the Halfley thing is interesting. I've already mentioned that if like Halfley does get a job somewhere, Christian Parker, who's in Philly now, who got the interview request with Green Bay last time, he's in Philadelphia under Vic Fangio right now. He would be somebody that I think could have, like, be able to come in and put together a really fun defense in Green Bay too.
I cannot find this damn text.
It's all good.
We'll figure it out a different day. What I will say, because this has been brought up to me before, and people have asked me, and they're like, well, if we do lose Halfley, what do you think the Packers are going to do? They're going to internal hire, guys. They spent a lot of money on this. Yeah, they spent a lot of money on this defensive staff. Like, they're going to keep whatever pieces that they can keep and promote and then, you know, backfill with hires. It doesn't have to be internal promotions on the lower levels. And by the way, guys, Halfley is going to take some of his guys too. Like, I think the big two names to watch are going to be Covington and Ansley, because they have history as coordinators. And I think whichever one Green Bay doesn't pick is going to end up going and being the defensive coordinator for Halfley, whether they call plays or not. Right. Yeah. So I think if Halfley leaves, I think you're losing two of the three of Halfley, Ansley, and Covington. Yeah.
I would kind of want it to be Ansley, I think, but I mean, who knows? It's a tough.
I think it would because he's been there longer.
Yeah.
Right. But yeah, we'll have to see.
Be interesting either way.
By the way, that would also save coaching salary, which then the Packers would have to play around and then be able to hire more big name coaches and stuff like that to come in instead of have to do internal promotions at the positional level. Like, it's not a bad thing when coaches cycle out. It's good to have a growing coaching tree.
You could save some money without Rich Bisaccia there too. Just throwing that out there.
There's no way.
I know.
I mean, maybe they will, but it'll be an internal high. I mean, you're not doing anything with it.
I don't even know. I have no faith that they could bring in anybody that's going to make this Packers special teams is cursed justice. I don't believe in curses.
They don't care. They don't care about this fact. They literally had a punt returner on the roster last week, and they're still like, nah.
Nah, we're good.
Sit him.
Just going back to the Bears game really quick. On the opposite side, I don't know if you saw this from our friend Wendell Fajeda, which I'm sure I'm pronouncing that last name wrong every single time. But the Bears defense, excluding turnovers, which obviously they lead the league in turnovers, yeah. Right? But like they're unbelievable at getting turnovers. Their defense, if you take those turnovers away, 30th in EPA per play, 30th in success rate, 30th in dropback EPA, 28th in rush EPA. Like, it is a bottom five, bottom three, four defense, other than the massive amount of turnovers that they're getting.
Yes, 100%. I mean, that's the story of the Bears season. And we could talk about how, you know, turnovers aren't consistent and stuff like that. That doesn't matter for them, right? They're 9-3 or whatever. And
yep. And they're getting them.
If they get some turnovers against us. And by the way, they just got back what, two cornerbacks and the linebacker.
Johnson and Gordon today. Yeah, Johnson and Gordon. And who else?
They got the linebacker today. Edwards.
Oh right? Yeah. It was limited today.
He was limited, but this is like the first time he's practiced in weeks and weeks and weeks. So I'm not scared of like their defensive line
at all.
They don't have a lot of talent there.
It's not good.
But like Jalen Johnson, yeah, dude, he's really good. Yeah. he's pretty good. They're getting healthier and they have gotten turnovers. Like, I mean, it's a Dennis Allen defense, right? So like, you're gonna get a whole lot of quarters. You're gonna get a whole lot of a man coverage. Like, that's just kind of what he does. It's not. You know, it's going to be pretty obvious based off of pre-snap looks, whether it's going to be like, all right, it's time to load up and take a shot, or we have to run the ball against this. Right. But the actual personnel, like the only guy who's really playing out of his mind, in my opinion, is Johnson. So,
yeah, No, I'm right there with you. It's yeah, it's just not a great defense, other than the fact that they get an absolute butt ton amount of turnovers.
Like a crazy amount. Like it's, if you look at them compared to the rest of the NFL or like even the average NFL team, it's just like, holy crap. You have a horseshoe stuck up your ass.
It's got to come back to like life at one at some point, right? It's got to come back to Earth. Regress to the
hopefully this week. Hopefully this week.
Apparently the odds makers think so, because that 6.5 point line, isn't it?
Still, people aren't buying it.
No.
Well, the Bears have a positive point differential now. So hang the banner. They've scored more points than their opponents finally.
Until this week, Packers are going to cover that spread, knock them right back down. A couple really quick fun ones. I know you wrote a little something on the odds of getting the number one seed going up a little bit. If they win this one, I think it gets to like 15% or something, but yeah, they're at least climbing. We'll be right back. What's going on, everyone? I am so excited to tell you about this new game-changing product that I've been using before a big night out. It's called Prealcohol. ZBiotics Prealcohol Prebiotic Drink is the world's first genetically engineered prebiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in the gut. It's a buildup of this byproduct, not dehydration, that's to blame for rough days after drinking. Now, pre-alcohol produces an enzyme to break this byproduct down. So just remember to make pre-alcohol your first drink of the night, drink responsibly, and you'll feel your best tomorrow. Listen, I get it. I was on the fence about pre-alcohol initially myself, but I've now used it for bachelor parties, fall cookouts, and at a huge tailgating event, and I'm telling you, it's the real deal. And guess what? Football is here, which means more opportunities to get out there with your friends and celebrate the season. So before that backyard barbecue brew, post-touchdown mixer, or cocktail by the campfire, don't forget your ZBiotics pre-alcohol. Drink one before drinking and wake up feeling great and ready to take on the next day and all that football season has to offer. So go to ZBiotics.com/Packaday to learn more and get 15% off your first order when you use code Packaday at checkout. ZBiotics is backed with a 100% money-back guarantee, so if you're unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember to head to ZBiotics.com/Packaday and use the code Packaday at checkout for 15% off. Make sure to support our partners and use that code Packaday.
Yeah, I mean, momentum has gone huge, right? Like, the momentum-wise, I know 15 doesn't sound like a lot. Spoiler alert, folks, other teams are trying to get that one seed too, right? It's not just us in the mix. It's not a coin flip. But we were basically at, like, zero after the back-to-back losses. And I know the Bears win stinks for the Bears win over the Eagles stinks for us from, like, a divisional standpoint, just in terms of getting that extra game. But that helped us a lot in terms of the one seed, and so did the Rams loss too. So this is very much back in play right now. I mean, unless the Eagles really start to turn it around, you could pretty much bank whoever wins the NFC North or the NFC West getting that one seed in the NFC. I mean, the South isn't competitive.
No.
And if it's not the Eagles, it's not going to be anyone in the East. So
yep,
it's kind of down to like Chicago, Green Bay, Seattle,
LA
and the Eagles. The Eagles figure it out.
If the Packers per the Athletic or New York Times predictor here, if the Packers were to win out, it gives them a 75% chance to get the number one seed in a bye. So not too shabby.
I'll take it.
Sign me up.
Yep.
The last one, just really quick. Do you want to talk about / celebrate the Minnesota Vikings ineptitude at all?
Yeah, I was gonna actually write a prepared statement, and I forgot about it. Yeah, I have to apologize to America. I said JJ McCarthy was the worst football player. I had no idea what Max Brosmer had in store for us. Oh my God,
that was fun.
Oh my God, dude, things are so bad in Minnesota right now. Did you see the quotes from like KOC?
I did not see them. No.
Where they're like, we're going to stop focusing.
Oh, yes, on I did see that.
Fundamentals. We're going to not care about fundamentals. We have to just get JJ McCarthy through the progression, not care about footwork, anything like that. And I'm like, I don't think I've ever heard anyone say that ever.
It's usually the opposite, if anything, right? Like, we're just going to focus on the fundamentals. We're going to, you know, call some easy stuff. We'll work on that stuff first, and then we'll get to the other stuff later.
They're down bad, dude.
It's real bad.
It's not good. I get why they had Wentz playing through like a separated shoulder in an international game, just taking a pounding. Like, They did not like what they saw, man.
Carson Wentz, age 32 years old, turns 33 on December 30th in 2025 after not basically doing anything of relevance in the recent history whatsoever, with a completely nuked shoulder. It was their best quarterback this year. Would Sam Howell have been better if they just stuck? I mean, he would have been better than the two. McCarthy and Brosmer.
You have to imagine. I mean, the bar is so low that you have to imagine. I mean, I think like McCarthy, if you go by like NEA, right? Like adjusted net yards per attempt. Like the only quarterback worse than him who's had as many opportunities in him in like the history of football is like Jamarcus Russell.
It's crazy.
So yeah, the bar is the floor. The bar is a guy who like actively didn't care about being an NFL football player. So I do think Sam Howell probably would have been better. Yeah.
Probably. I tweeted out that Max Brosmer did the impossible and had Vikings fans pining for JJ McCarthy again. I didn't think it was possible, but they're once again, you know, excited to get JJ McCarthy back. Back in the fold.
That's bad news. The fact that like you didn't even leave the city to find like your backup quarterback, right? He's from University of Minnesota. Like, if we get like
a story there too, that because he got a late combine invite, right? And it was the Vikings that pushed for it, I think. And they were like disappointed because they thought they had this diamond in the rough that like they didn't want anybody to like find. They're like, oh, we actually screwed this up. Like we know this guy, nobody else knows about him. And then they eventually got him in as a UDFA anyway, UDFA, right? And then, it was not a hidden gem.
Andy, he played in the Big Ten.
No, I know.
Who do they think they're out? He played in the Big Ten. What do you mean nobody knows about him?
Yeah, I know. I don't understand. What are you talking about?
Get out
under the radar guy.
Yeah, I just want to be like, if Green Bay ever signs the backup quarterback and he's from like UW Green Bay, right? Red flag is going up immediately. I'm going, wait, did you guys even
remember
try
when I signed the linebacker from the Green Bay Blizzard? Do you remember that? There was this was like maybe like a decade ago. They signed a linebacker that was playing across the street for the Green Bay Blizzard and like added him. I want to say he was actually on the active too. I don't think it was just a practice squad pickup.
Good for him.
I got to see if I can find this really quick. Oh, I had the right name too. I was going to say, I think it's Simpkins.
I remember the offensive coordinator now. It's Charlie Weiss Jr.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
Charlie Weiss Jr., who's now with Lane at LSU, but is going to coach at Ole Miss through the playoff, unlike Lane Kiffin.
Maurice Simpkins was playing for the Green Bay Blizzard, was the IFL 2010 most improved player. On August 10th, 2010, the Green Bay Packers signed Simpkins as an undrafted free agent, signed to the practice squad to start the 2010 season. On October 7th, he was moved to the active roster.
He got a Super Bowl ring.
Appeared in two games as a Green Bay Packer, and they literally got him off the Green Bay Blizzard roster across the street.
Well, you could sell a Disney movie off of this.
There's got to be something, right? Good for Maurice Simpkins. I don't even know, did a coach like happen to go to like a Blizzard game with like his family and is like, oh, who the hell is that? Who's that guy? Let's bring him in. There's got to be something weird, right? I don't know.
I don't know. I know a couple guys who are like basketball scouts, and it's always funny hearing about the guys who have to go to like the G League games and just like bounce around and stuff like that. I don't know what the NFL's infrastructure looks like for arena football.
After retiring from professional football, Simpkins started a tech consulting firm. So he's now doing tech consulting. So if you check him out, I don't know where he lives now, but if you're in,
Working in sales, I bet that Super Bowl ring goes a long way.
You keep that on your finger. Yeah. That's a conversation starter. Absolutely. Yeah. Hell yeah.
Easy peasy. He's a smart guy. Good for him.
We got to get Maurice Simpkins on the pod. We're going to have to do a reach out, see if we can get him on at some point. Justice, you're the best. The fact that we can get to, Maurice Simpkins by the end of our pod, and like, that's not even a random, like that's a normal occurrence for us. Like things are going well. Any final thoughts today?
No, man, check out Acme Packing Company, make an account, come talk with us during game days and stuff like that, or during non-game days. Just talk about the articles in the comment section, all that. Hopefully I can get a film breakdown on Jordan Riley up. We'll see. I don't know what the market for that is, but if I have time this week, I'll
do it. Actually, I saw a lot of people looking at it for it today. I didn't have a chance to do it. I'm still behind this week. This is supposed to be my easy week, Justice. This is supposed to be my easy week because they played last Thursday. And like by Thursday and Friday, I've got my legs kicked up and everything. I'm still going through great. It's been one of those weeks. We'll get through it.
We'll do it. Finish line soon. This week does seem like it's flying by, though, which is nice.
It is. I'm looking forward to Cowboys Lions as well. That should be a fun game on Thursday Night Football. Enjoy it, my friend. We'll talk next week, hopefully talking about a Packers win, getting ready for Packers Broncos, which will be another challenging game in Denver as well. Follow him at JUMOSQ on social media, acmepackingcompany.com. You can find me at Andy Herman NFL. That's going to do it for us today. But until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.